Chapter 22. Once home, Jesse put away his paraphernalia and began to straighten up the house. He wore a t-shirt and boxer shorts and was feeding the cat when he heard knocking on his door. "Damn it," he said. He picked up his pistol from the kitchen console and press-checked it on his way to the door. He was stopped dead in his tracks by the appearance of Alexis Richardson. She stood in the doorway, a sack of Chinese takeout in her hand. "Nice outfit," she said. Jesse looked at her. "I took a chance," she said. He didn't say anything. "I always find Chinese a safe bet. You haven't eaten, have you?" Jesse stared at her. "Are you going to ask me in or shoot me?" she said. Jesse realized that his pistol was still in his hand. He lowered it. Then he opened the door wider so she could enter. She stepped inside. He looked down at himself for a moment. Then he looked up at her. "I'll be right back," he said. When Jesse went upstairs, Alexis wandered into the living room. "I've never actually been inside the home of a police chief before," she called to him. When he didn't respond, she stopped to look at the picture of Ozzie Smith, which hung on the wall above the fireplace. She studied it for a while. It was an incredible photo. It created the illusion that the Hall of Famer was flying. His body was floating lengthwise in the air, hovering above the ground, his glove hand extended, a caught ball lodged inside the glove. When Jesse returned, wearing khakis and a blue shirt that he hadn't tucked in, she asked him about it. "He's the best shortstop I ever saw," Jesse said. "And you wanted to be like him," she said. "I was never that good," he said. "All I wanted was to make the show, have a shot." "But you got hurt," she said. "My shoulder," he said. "Do you miss it?" "Every day." They wandered over to the French doors. "It's very secluded here," Alexis said. "I like secluded," Jesse said. "Am I safe in the assumption that you live here alone?"
"Of late, there's been a cat hovering about. Other than that, you're safe."
He suddenly remembered his manners. "Forgive me," he said. "Can I get you anything?" "You can take the food," she said. He took the food. "Is there vodka?" she said.
"I think so."
"You think so? You mean you don't know for certain?"
"I'm a big picture guy," he said. "Sometimes the small stuff eludes me."
"I guess that eliminates the possibility of tonic."
"Not necessarily. Let me go look."
He left her and went to the kitchen. When he returned, he found her outside on the porch. He was carrying a vodka and tonic, garnished by a slice of a somewhat tired lime. He stepped outside. He was surprised to see her holding the black and white cat. She was seated on the love seat, and the cat was nestled comfortably on her lap, where it allowed itself to be petted. It appeared to be purring. "I love cats," she said. Jesse didn't say anything. He started toward the love seat, but somehow the cat misunderstood, and without warning, it leapt from Alexis's lap and jumped off the porch.
"We just recently met," Jesse said. "It likes what I feed it, but it's very standoffish."
"Be patient," Alexis said. She stood up and walked over to him. She took the drink from his hand and sipped it. Then she put it down. She placed her arms around his neck and kissed him. She leaned back and looked in his eyes. "Hello, Jesse Stone," she said. Then she kissed him again. He kissed her back. She tasted of vodka and tonic and old lime and life. "I hardly know you," he said. She looked at him. "Who are you, Alexis?"
"I'm an ambitious careerist who finds herself in a strange town and has discovered a mysterious man whom she finds attractive."
"I don't think it's such a good idea."
She looked at him.
"Why?" she said.
"I'm unreliable," he said.
"Me too," she said.
"I'll run at the first sign of trouble," he said.
"Me too," she said.
"Ah, hell," he said. He kissed her. Then he kissed her again.
"Be tender, Jesse," she said.
He looked at her for a moment. Then he picked her up and carried her upstairs. Afterward, they feasted on Chinese. Jesse wore his boxer shorts. Alexis wore his t-shirt.
They ate prodigious amounts of kung pao shrimp, chicken and garlic sauce, and barbecued beef, which they washed down with several bottles of Qingdao beer, which Jesse kept on ice. "How is it you're not spoken for post-gen?" Alexis said.
"I thought I was, but I don't think so anymore."
"Who?"
"A private detective from Boston. I met her on a case. She's somewhere in Europe now. Have you heard of the movie actress Moira Harris?"
Alexis shrugged.
"Moira Harris was shooting a picture in Boston, and Sonny was hired as her security."
"Sonny?"
"Sonny Randall," Jesse said. "Moira got a movie shooting in London and Prague. She asked for Sonny. That's where she is now."
"Do you love her?"
"That's a loaded question. There was a time when I thought we'd be together. She thought so too, but somehow things didn't go that way."
"Why?"
"History, I guess. Each of our marriages had ended badly. We were both damaged goods. All the king's horses and all the king's men. We couldn't be put back together again. We tried. Then she took the movie. When she left, I thought I'd miss her, but I don't, really. Out of sight, out of mind, I suppose."
"Are you over her?"
"I don't know," Jesse said. Alexis didn't say anything. "And you, have you ever been married?" Jesse said.
"God, no. Married to a job, perhaps. I'm not a good catch. I'm an anathema. Guys take one look at me and start clutching their balls."
They sat silently for a while.
"Thank you for being honest," she said.
Jesse didn't say anything.
Alexis stood up and walked over to his chair. She insinuated herself onto his lap. "That kind of honesty is rare in a man."
Jesse didn't say anything.
She leaned back and looked at him. She traced his cheek with her finger. She kissed him. After a while, they went back upstairs.